so like obviously this is like a huge part of Holly Wounded, but like how has like the LA dating life been treating you out here?
Well, not great, actually.
Otherwise we wouldn't have a show, right?
Exactly. No, I mean, here's the thing. LA is great if you're, you know, if you're, you're single and you want to mingle and, you know, and you're cool with being treated like an option, because trust me, you're not going to be the only one that they're seeing, you know what I'm saying? So, it's, you know, it's great if you don't care. And like, if in the sense of like, you're not looking for like a relationship or anything serious. But as soon as, you know, you start making that shift, now I don't think it's impossible. I mean, obviously there's people in relationships in LA, you know, I mean, not every single person is single, but I'd say, you know, there's a shift that happens, in the sense that, well, you sort of start being attracted to different sorts of people. Let's just put it that way. Once you realize that you're looking for something a little bit, you know, something real as yeah. opposed to
yeah.
spiritual.
But the slide in that pussy is a homicide. It's a homicide. Sliding up pussy, it's a homicide. It's a homicide.
Welcome to Hookup Horror Stories, the podcast where we share our worst hookup or dating experiences. I'm Demi Wilde, your resident sexual deviant, and today I've got a very special guest, Deviant. She's the creator of Holly Wounded, a web series which you can check out right now on YouTube. She is an artist, a writer, and she is drop-dead gorgeous, but at that, it's Charlie Bella Rose. Welcome.
My God, thank you for that wonderful introduction.
No problem.
I said I'm so flattered.
No problem. Thank you. I love doing the like little like intros for people, make them feel like they're special. Like make them feel like they're really like supposed to be here, you know?
I do. I feel very special. Thank you.
Of course. Well, before we get into anything, be sure to like, share, and subscribe to this show. And don't forget to leave us a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts, as that allows us to be seen by more people later on. Well, Charlie, I know a little bit about you, but tell our viewers and listeners a little bit about yourself.
A little bit about me. So yes, as you mentioned, you know, I'm a writer and a filmmaker. Right now I am still working on Holly Wounded. So that's something that's kind of still in the works, still in the progress. But as far as like me personally, so I don't know if you know this, but I'm actually originally from France.
I learned this on another podcast you're on, actually. This is very interesting.
Yeah. So, you know, I've been in LA for about, I want to say 4 years now. And, you know, I think the big push for me to move here was, you know, to pursue like a career in the film industry. So, I started acting actually a little bit too, cause I was like doing my own stuff, but you know, now I'm like kind of venturing off as well. Cause that's kind of fun. You know, I like acting a lot. It's cool. But as far as like, what would you like to know? Like personal stuff. I never know.
Well, I mean, let's talk about a little bit about what brought you from France. You were, I think I remember this correctly. Your dad was in the military, and that's why you were traveling around a lot.
Oh, or? So he was actually working for like the, you know, GM. So like for the car industry and stuff like that. And for whatever reason, we always had to travel around. And so, cause he'd have like these like 3-year contracts to come to the US. And so we'd like go back and forth. So it was like 3 years here in the US and like 4 years back in France and then like constantly doing that. So I've lived a little bit everywhere. Like I lived in Detroit, Boston, Miami, you know, now LA. And then obviously overseas, like in France mostly, but Italy as well. And then Germany. So yeah, I am well-traveled, that's for sure.
She's international, y'all.
Yes. So, yeah.
Well, how did you get into, like, you know, writing and creating and Hollywounded? Because this is something that I think is really great. First of all, like, I love the project. It's got like a Sex and the City vibe, but it kind of I think it leaves off where, or it picks up where a lot of like Sex and the City had some issues where, in particular, kind of like racial stereotypes and things. Right. Whereas Hollywounded is kind of like pretty just nonchalant about everything like that, which is great.
Yeah, well, I guess what got me to write, like, I've always loved writing. I mean, I studied journalism in college, and I thought that I was going to go into broadcasting. But then, you know, I realized that the news is not what it used to be.
Yeah.
A lot of sensationalism and all of that. And I don't know, I just wasn't really down for it. And so I've always had, like, I don't know, just like movies. I've always loved movies. Like, I grew up watching films, you know, with my family and stuff like that, like American films. And so it was kind of like the dream, you know, to move to LA and kind of pursue that. And so I just kind of decided, you know, why not? Like, what the hell? And then, you know, a year into living in LA, I had all these kind of wild experiences. And so I was like, you know what, I should totally just make a show about this. And so, you know, I started writing, and then I was like, all right, let's shoot like an episode or something, like a proof of concept. And so I ended up doing that, you know, getting a crew together and finding my co-star Jamal, who's obviously amazing. And you know, it just kind of snowballed from there. And then now we're, you know, trying to pitch it to basically the, you know, like Netflix and Hulu and stuff like that. So, but it's like, it's a work in progress, basically. So, and we're trying to get like funding and stuff so we can also like keep doing it on our own. But yeah, it's just fun, you know. I mean, it's basically taking like my personal experiences and the ones of my friends and turning it into comedy. I mean, because you got to laugh at this shit, honestly.
Yeah, I mean, so that's what I love about it, first of all. It's because it's taking reality and it's turning it into something. It's turning into art, essentially. Like, I started Hookup Horror Stories 2 years ago. This was a podcast that I had in mind that I kind of like shelved for a little while, but then it turned into a blog. So I basically just started writing about all my sexual history and all the weird shit that has happened to me. And, you know, the good, the bad, and the ugly, the funny and the lighthearted as well. But I started realizing this is like more of a universal experience than I realized. I always thought I was very alone in these like horrible situations. Maybe I was just unlucky or something. But turning all your pain and turning that into like something like creative and fun that other people might be able to enjoy is amazing.
Oh, for sure. And I mean, you're definitely not the only one, clearly. Yeah. I'm like, I think every single person probably at least one, like they probably have at least one horrible hookup story. I mean, yeah,
exactly.
I think that, and there's a lot of weird stuff that goes on.
But the thing is like, that's why I love having other people on this show, is because like, I get to hear it firsthand, like what these things have happened to people. Whereas like before, like when I was starting to like hook up with people and like starting to date people and I would have like really bad experiences or whatever, I wouldn't talk about it because there was like a kind of a shame aspect that went with it. It felt very stifling, felt very alone and like kind of claustrophobic in this like horrible situation. But in reality, everyone's kind of dealt with it at some point.
Exactly. Oh yeah, for sure. And I'm definitely one of those people.
Oh yes. We will get into that later on. I do want to say I love Jamal. I've worked with him. I won't say where, but yeah, we were coworkers at one point. Yeah, I love him. He's so fun.
Yeah, he's great. And I mean, he plays the character to perfection. So no, I mean,
he really does.
So yeah, no, it's been fun, honestly. Just in general. Yeah.
Yeah. So what did you get? Like, I wanted to say, like, when did you get like this bug, obviously, because like we all kind of come to LA for the same reasons. Like, when would you say that you had this bug? I remember when I was like a kid and I was watching movies with my grandpa, and like my grandpa's a huge movie buff. Like, he would like sit there and watch every single type of movie. It didn't matter what it was. He'd know who the actors were, knew everything about it. And I always found that so fascinating. Since, well, that's what kind of what drew me to LA in general was my love of movies and television. Like, when did you say that you caught the bug, quote unquote?
So, I mean, again, like I definitely had the bug since I was a child too. Like, you know, just like you with, you know, the love of movies, but also I loved acting. Like I would write like skits for my family and like act it out for them and stuff like that when I was a kid. And I'd get my cousins involved. I mean, it was like a whole thing and, you know, and everybody really loved it. So, but you know, as you grow older, I kind of succumb to the pressure of just like having to fit in the sense of like, you know, oh, everyone needs to go to college and you got to like get a degree in something you're actually going to like work in, you know? And so like, that's why I studied journalism, but I also studied graphic design and ended up like going the graphic design route, which I love, don't get me wrong, because I mean, I am an artist and graphic design is, at least like the stuff that I work on, like I'm very passionate about it. And I get to be creative. So that's really like,
yeah,
you know, the biggest draw. But I guess I would say that like, I, you know, it was kind of like, I woke up one day, you know, after I graduated college, I was like, you know, I feel like even though I love what I do, I'm not completely satisfied. And I feel like I haven't explored certain avenues, like certain passions of mine that I really just want. I just want to kind of test out. And so I, you know, I kind of decided on a whim, like I was like, you know what, it's now or never. So fuck it, let's just do it. And I moved out to LA and I was like, all right, let's just try to make this happen. And, you know, and then eventually things kind of like fell into place. So, yeah.
I feel like our stories are a little similar actually. Cause like I was actually studying journalism in college as well. And I was an editor on my school paper and, you know, I had a great time doing that as well, but the opportunity just came where a friend of mine wanted to move out here. And I actually dropped out to like move out here. But at the same time, I'm like, I already got what I needed from that. I'm like, I know what I need to do with this information now. And so now I just needed to like implement it into like turning it into a business, turning it into like my passion, turning it into something that will make money.
Right. Exactly.
But
I was
going to say, but in addition, like my earliest experiences was in theater. So like I have a background in theater as well. I did like high school, middle school type drama and stuff. And then I did improv in like sophomore year, I think, as well. So like I have a little bit of that in me as well. So yeah, there was just a whole lot of stuff that I didn't explore that I kind of wanted to.
Yeah, I mean, and I feel like once you know, really put like 100% behind like what, you know, your passions are, the money will eventually like come, you know? So yeah. that's a belief that I have. I think that, I mean, obviously we, you know, we have to pay the bills and stuff like that, but at the same time, I think it's important to really do what you love.
Completely.
Here, hold on. I'm just gonna, he needs to go out.
No problem.
He's like, he keeps scratching at the door and I'm like, all right, there we go. Okay.
You have a yard?
No, I have a balcony and he just loves to sit out there because like the sun's hitting it. And so he just sits.
Oh yeah. This weather has been awful out here lately. It's been so schizophrenic.
It is. It's like, you don't know what you're getting. Like, I don't know. Like one day it's like super hot. The next day it's freezing. I have no idea anymore.
Anyways, this is a riveting conversation about LA weather.
Oh, yeah. For sure.
People are going to be like, what the fuck are you talking about? It's 75 degrees. I'm like, but it's cold.
I know. But it's because it was like 90 last week and now it's like 60. So it's like, who the fuck knows? But
yeah, I think it was like 58 last night.
I know. It's crazy. So
anyways, I digress. So are you single?
Yeah.
She says coyly.
Yeah, I'm single. You know, I guess kind of not, I wouldn't say playing the field. It's not like that, but you know, I mean, kind of a little bit. Yeah.
Just exploring, just having a good time.
Having a good time, you know, but, also looking for the right one, I guess I would have to say, you know, I've had my fun and, now I'm actually ready for something a little bit more, substantial, believe it or not.
Yeah, me too. I've been kind of like in this place where like I'm not even interested in like having sex at this moment in time either. I'm just kind of like, I've had a few people like hit me up and they're like, hey, what are you doing? I'm like, hanging out, making money. Like I'm good right now.
Exactly. I mean, yeah, I partook, I think it's been a minute, like maybe a couple months since I last, hooked up with anyone, actually, now that I'm thinking about it. So yeah, just not, I haven't, it's, you know, sex hasn't been necessarily like the primary focus in my life. So.
Yeah. Well, so like, obviously this is like a huge part of Holly Wounded, but like, how has like the LA dating life been treating you out here?
Well, not great, actually.
Otherwise we wouldn't have a show, right?
Exactly. No, I mean, here's the thing. LA is great if you're, you know, if you're single and you want to mingle and, you know, and you're cool with being treated like an option, because trust me, you're not going to be the only one that they're seeing, you know what I'm saying? So, it's, you know, it's great if you don't care. And like, if in the sense of like, you're not looking for like a relationship or anything serious. But as soon as, you know, you start making that shift, now I don't think it's impossible. I mean, obviously there's people in relationships in LA, you know, I mean, not every single person is single, but I'd say, you know, there's a shift that happens, in the sense that, well, you sort of start being attracted to different sorts of people. Let's just put it that way. Once you realize that you're looking for something a little bit, you know, something real as opposed to
superficial. One of the experiences that I've had here a lot is meeting somebody, flirting, getting very kind of like, you know, into it and everything, and then finding out they have a boyfriend 3 months later.
Right, exactly. Or, you know, three or four boyfriends or whatever.
Three or four, yeah. Like, it's like, what is that? It's just so strange nowadays.
I mean, the thing is, like, I was guilty of that. Like, I'm not going to lie. Like, I would see, you know, I would have multiple situationships going on. So it wasn't like I was in a full-on relationship with somebody and, like, you know, like seeing other people. But it's like, no, I was like in multiple situationships at once. So, and, you know, and that was fun and everything. And it satisfied a part of my ego at the time. But like now I'm, you know, I'm no longer the same person. I feel like things have definitely changed. You know, I mean, you get older, you get a little wiser. And I don't know.
You start hurting more.
Yeah, exactly. That too, you know, and you start, you know, because then you see that other people are treating you like an option and I had my heart broken a couple times. And I think that really kind of changed my view on just relationships in general. You know, once you go through like a lot of disappointments, then at one point you're kind of sick of it and you're like, okay, I'm sick of the bullshit. Now I actually want something real, you know.
Can't get hurt if you don't talk to nobody.
Well, that's true. I mean, and you know, and there was a time where I wasn't talking to anybody. So the pandemic really helped with that, actually, I have to say. So yeah.
That and weed for sure.
Oh my God. Yeah. Thank God for weed, actually. I'm not sure I would have made it through the pandemic without it.
I know. Oh my God. Could you imagine if all the dispensaries shut down? I know. I would have lost my mind.
Oh man. Yeah. Thank God we live in California.
Yes. God bless.
Exactly.
Well, so we have a few different stories we wanted to kind of get into here. Where did you want to, I know where I wanted to end, but what did you want to like kind of start with here?
You pick, go ahead. I mean, honestly, be my guide. I will.
Well, okay. So, this one was kind of like, interesting, and I think a lot of people would would probably relate to, but the surprise fingering.
Oh, of the yes, the ass fingering. Yeah, that was not fun. Here's the thing: if you're into ass play, that's one thing. Like I've tried it, and it's. I'm like, I've tried it personally. I was like, as far as like my thing is, it's like, I'd much rather you stick your dick in my ass than your fingers. because I don't, you know what I mean? Like the other one, I just don't quite understand what it does for either of us. You know what I mean? So
right.
that's one thing that I'm like still confused about. But it seems like, you know, a lot of dudes, I don't know if it's because they're watching way too much porn or whatever, but it seems to be like a thing amongst men that I've at least hooked up with, where it's like, oh yeah, let's venture into the, with their hands, obviously, like let's venture into her asshole and see what that's like. And I'm just like, okay. And you know, and without any warning too, but this one was particularly bad. And I'll tell you why, because it was so unexpected and so aggressive. Like, I mean, how can I explain this? The guy had literally just gone down on me. And then, and I climaxed, like I actually came. And then right after that, he literally just sticks what I think it was like 2 or 3 fingers right in my asshole. No lube, no nothing. And I
just jammed them in.
Just jammed them right in. And it took me by surprise, but it also hurt like a motherfucker. And that part was not enjoyable whatsoever. I actually freaked out.
That?
Like, what the fuck was that?
Okay, first of all, consent is sexy. We don't just jam things in places.
No, definitely not.
Second of all, not 2 or 3 fingers the first time.
I know. Yeah.
That's just torturous.
It was. I can't, you know, I felt extremely violated. I'm not going to lie. And I ended up leaving after that because I was just so distraught.
Well, good. Yeah.
Oh, I was like, this was not the way it was supposed to go down. Let's just put it that way. So, yeah, not great. Definitely.
Did he apologize? Did he like say anything afterwards?
You know, he was pretty, he was pretty fucked up. Like he was pretty drunk. So I feel like, you know, maybe that also affected his decision-making abilities. But so, I mean, he did apologize, but at that point I was just like, so over it. I just got the fuck up out of there anyway. You know what I mean? I was like, all right, cool. Whatever. Just have a good night. I'm going to go nurture my asshole at home.
You go put some ice on it.
Exactly. I was like, fuck you. And fuck this whole situation. Yeah.
Well then, well, that's great. Obviously, like, never ever just jam things in places. That's not okay with anybody, male or female.
No, and you know, and the thing is, it's like regardless of whether or not you're wasted, I'm like, it's not an excuse. I'm like, it doesn't give you the right.
Yeah, and I think you also had one about a returned lover.
Oh yes.
I think this is the one where I wanted to kind of like spend a little bit more time on, because this sounds. I mean, we've all kind of been there. We've all had like someone that we like hooked up with at one point and then like they've come back into our lives. But like, what was this one that you found? So well, just tell us the story, I guess.
Oh, I guess what's kind of funny about this one is that, so it was more of a situationship that I had with this guy. And, you know, so we were kind of like hooking up for, I want to say about like 6 months or so. Mm-hmm. And I, you know, he was into some, like, he was very much into like BDSM and stuff like that, which I, you know, fun. I was, yeah, it was actually, you know, it was fun. And, you know, I'm into that as well to some extent. But, you know, and things kind of ended, they didn't end badly. It just kind of fizzled out on my end, at least, you know, I just kind of stopped responding and all of that. And, you know, sure. That's just how it goes, whatever. And then a year later I run into him and, you know, I was like, oh, okay, maybe we should get together and all that stuff. And so we ended up like hooking up again. And then, you know, because when time goes by, sometimes you forget like why you stop necessarily talking to someone. You forget, you know, like the little things that maybe like annoyed you about that person.
Amnesia has fully set in.
Yes, exactly. And, you know, and I, as I'm like having, and it was so funny too, because I had this realization when I was like going down on him too. And I was like, I was going down on the guy and I'm like, oh my God. And it all started coming back to me, like why I stopped talking to him. I was like, now I find, I was like, holy shit. I was like, you know, I realized like why I can't stand this guy. You know what I mean? Like, you know, he was just like one of those people that, you know, he loves to call himself confident, but there's a fine line between arrogance and confidence. And he was definitely stepping over that line. Like he was like a very arrogant person. Like he every time he came to my place, like he would treat it like it was his, which, you know, to some extent it's like, okay, yeah, you know, make yourself comfortable. But like, he would like go into my fridge, start eating all of my food without asking, or like, no, you know, just like stuff like that. But then, he was also like very loud and obnoxious. Just certain things. And like the whole, like, you know, I'm Christian Grey sort of like personality, you know, trying to be like, you know what I'm saying? Like trying to be that person. I'm like, that only works if you're rich as hell. Not if like, you know, you're basically, you know, some broke bitch, like trying to make it. Like, I'm just not to be mean, but I'm like, it turned out to be such an act, you know. It didn't feel genuine whatsoever. And all of that just kind of hit me all at once as I'm like, literally have his dick in my mouth. And I'm like, okay, well, clearly, I was like, this is the reason why you don't go back. Like, this is why you should never look back. You know what I mean? Yeah. Moving forward. And so, yeah, it just, oh man. I mean,
I think it's like just that image of like, I imagine Carrie Bradshaw sitting at her computer desk and like, so I had his dick in my mouth and I thought to myself.
Oh, suddenly I remembered why.
Suddenly I remembered.
But yeah, I mean, and there were other reasons too, but it's just like the, you know, it's the little things that start coming back to you and then you're like, oh yeah, fuck. Like what was I thinking? So, you know, needless to say, after that, I definitely stopped responding for good. Like,
well, that's great. Cause like, what did Whoopi Goldberg say? I don't want no man in my house or something like that. Why, she's single.
Exactly.
I don't want nobody in my house because of that. People just go through your shit. Don't ask. And
yeah, I mean, there was just a lot. I mean, that's the thing. People who are entitled and think they can just walk all over you and do whatever they want. But yeah. I just wasn't into him anymore, I guess. I mean, it is what it is, you know. Sometimes like the sex can be good, but then you just hate the person that you're having sex with.
Everything's fine for about an hour and then
yeah,
the endorphins run out and then you're like, I don't know about this person.
It's like once the sex is over, you're like, can you leave now?
Can you get the fuck out?
Yeah, let's not hang out, all right? Yeah, thanks. So that was fun. So we haven't spoken since, and that was like I don't know, probably like two or three years ago. Yeah.
Well, good riddance. And your fridge probably really appreciates that.
Yeah, yes, it definitely does, for sure.
So we like to tie things up on this show with like maybe some lessons that we learn from these as well. So like other people that who might have experienced something similar can take away something that's kind of like beneficial to them. So what would you say of these two experiences that you shared with us today that would be some takeaways from this?
Oh, man. Just, you know, well, the first one with the fingering of the asshole, I mean, my lesson, damn, just, I guess, just stop dating fuckboys. I mean, that's and you know what I mean? Which I'm actually doing pretty well with that. I feel like that lesson has been learned so far. But
consent is also very important.
Otherwise, it's like, you know, it's mostly a lesson for the person. It's like, if you're going to do some shit like that, at least lube it up, you know, let's just, you know, or and ask for permission, you know, that's always a plus if you ask for permission.
One finger at a time.
Yeah, one finger at a time. you know, make sure everything is consensual for sure. But The second one, I would say, you know, yeah, like there's a reason why you stop talking to somebody. There's a reason why you broke up with someone. You know what I mean? Like, don't, I know that sometimes it may be alluring to go back and be like, oh, but what if? And, you know, the funny thing is every time that I have, I've always been severely disappointed. So I'm like, I think the lesson in that is just don't look back. Just keep moving forward. Like, I think that's the best way, honestly.
Yeah, I think so too. I was listening to this podcast called Guys We Fucked. I don't know if you're familiar with it.
I'm not.
You're not. Yeah, it's a really great show. It's these two female comedians, Christina Hutchinson, and I always forget her other name. Anyways, check it out. It's a great podcast. But they take questions from listeners in the very beginning of the show. And one of them was like talking about how she was thinking about going back to her abusive husband. Then I'm like, that she finally escaped from. I'm like, why would you do that? Like, the story did not get better at all. Like, this is a severely toxic situation. Why would you even think about looking back, you know?
I know. And that's the thing. But, you know, we're such creatures of habit. I feel like if like toxicity is all you've known and that's what you've been, you know, kind of attracted to, you're going to keep attracting that. So it's just, but yeah, I mean, again, it's, you know, it's all about like growing as a person. I feel like eventually you realize I'm done putting up with the bullshit, you know, like I'm worth way more than this. And so, yeah, definitely. I don't know, like going back to anything abusive is just not a good idea.
No, maybe question your motives and why you're attracted to this and find out why chaos feels normal to you.
Exactly. I would say seek therapy for sure. Seek outside counsel, get some help with the issues that you're having, you know, and that's not in a judgmental. I think everybody should seek therapy. I think we all need it at some point.
Truly.
You know what I mean? But yeah, just figure out your own shit, man, for real. Because once you got that figured out, I feel like, you know, your relationships have a better chance of blossoming. Let's just put it that way.
I believe that for sure. Charlie, this has been lovely. Thank you for joining us today. Where can our listeners find you?
Well, you can, you know, find me on Instagram at Holly Wounded. And yeah, I mean, and you can also check out the Holly Wounded website at hollywounded.com. And yeah, that's, thank you so much for having me. This was fun.
Thank you for joining us. I really appreciate it. Da, 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 da. Be sure to check out the episode description for our guest social media links for more information on this show or to read my blogs of horror stories and Deviant's Guide to Sex. Or if you're interested in receiving a personal tarot reading from me, visit DimitriWild.com. Stay deviant.
Remember, subscribing might not be worth it, but it's also not optional.